Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. And what a blessing it is when you do hear from the Lord. Amen. You're not going to hear that audible voice, but when His Spirit bears witness with your spirit and He speaks to you as you read His Word, as you hear the preaching of the Word of God, as God just comes to you and just bears witness, amen, with your spirit. What a blessing it is when He speaks to us, and I'm thankful for that. I'm looking forward to Him speaking to us today at this time right now. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24. We're going to read verse 8 down to verse 17. David has actually been running from Saul and fleeing for his life, as Saul has attempted to take David's life several times. And so this is one of those times when Saul was chasing David, but kind of God turned the tables. And David would have an opportunity, if he wanted to kill Saul. And yet David would not kill Saul. And there's a great message found here in 1 Samuel chapter 24. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Begin in verse 8. As I read, you read along, follow right along with me. The Bible says, "And David also rose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, 'My lord the king.' And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, 'Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, "Behold, David seeketh thy hurt"? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, "I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of the robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand. And I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand." And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning again, we thank you, Lord God, for the privilege to be in church. Thank you for the blessings that we've already experienced in being in this place. Thank you for speaking to us. And now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture, I know that you have a message for each one that's here, one that will strengthen them and draw them closer to you. I pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In verse 14, David says, "After whom is the king of Israel come out? And whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog." I'm going to preach a message to you this morning that I've entitled, "Stop Chasing After Dead Dogs." David was trying to help King Saul. as we study this and understand David's heart, he was wanting to try to help Saul to realize that what he was consumed with was really insignificant. As king of Israel, he had more important things to address. David, in comparison to Saul's real problems and the responsibilities that he had, was as a flea, or I like this description better, as a dead dog. Dead dog can't hurt you. A dead dog can't bite you. My wife is scared to death of any kind of dog. But I don't think she'd be afraid of a dead dog. She wouldn't want to go around it. She wouldn't want to look at it. Definitely wouldn't want to pet it. She wouldn't be afraid of it. Saul, why be so consumed over a dead dog? And yet it consumed him. If you look back and we look at the story of Saul, and Saul was a goodly man when God anointed him to be king over Israel, and Saul loved the Lord and he was serving God until he allowed his own will get in the way, his stubbornness, his hard-headedness. Then he started thinking that he knew more than God did as far as how to handle things as king. And without even realizing it, he rebelled against God and yielding to God to direct his life. And he started to look at himself as king. And if I'm king, I ought to be able to make whatever decisions that I want to make. I ought to be able to do things the way I want to do things. And we find that Saul, in this mentality of, I'm going to because I can. I'm the king and no one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me how to live my life. And I'm going to live my life the way I want to live my life. And I'm going to rule as I want to rule in this mentality. And we find that because of Saul's disobedience to God and doing things the way God wanted him to do things, that God removed him from being king spiritually. In verse 14, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, this is what Saul was told as to what God was doing. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." God said, if you'll not do it my way, if you'll not yield to me, if you'll not reverence me, then I'm going to leave you, Saul, and just see what you can do on your own. See how you prosper. See how successful a man you can be without me. And so we find the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And listen to me, when God departs and he lifts his protective hand off of you, this is what will happen. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, in understanding this, God does not have an evil spirit, but when God lifts his hand, it allows Satan, which is an evil spirit, an evil influence, to take over where God allows him to take over. And when God lifts his hand off of somebody, can I tell you that Satan is very much ready and willing to attack. And an evil spirit came upon Saul. Well, if you'd read the story, we'll find actually David came to be a help to Saul. David came to play his instrument, his violin, to his harp, to be able to help Saul to overcome this evil spirit. Before you know it, Saul yields to this evil spirit, and now he starts attempting to kill David. And as he wants to kill David, he's consumed with this idea of killing David. David has to flee for his life. And now David has been running from one area to another area, hiding out in the caves and in the forest from Saul. And Saul is just intent on killing David. He became possessed with this thought. Saul, because he was king, he had an army of 3,000 soldiers pursuing after David, continued to chase David and his 300 men. Saul had been led by an evil spirit and had believed the lies of others that David wanted to kill Saul. I tell you, when you're being led by an evil spirit, you'll also open yourself up to lies and deceptions concerning the reality of life. So in 1 Samuel now, chapter 24, our text here, David actually had an opportunity to kill Saul. Saul is chasing after David, and he goes into a cave not knowing that that's where David and his men were hiding. And as Saul goes in, David was right there, close enough to Saul, that he came up to Saul, and it was so dark in the cave that he took a knife and actually cut off a part of Saul's garment. So when Saul would leave, he would have this garment, and he would pull it up, and he would call out to Saul and show Saul that he was that close to him. And he said, "Saul, if I had a desire to do so, and I was even encouraged by the men around me to take your life, if I desired to take your life, God provided me that opportunity, and I could have killed you." But David didn't want to kill Saul. David wanted to help Saul. By helping Saul, he would help all that Saul had influence over. I guarantee you, those 3,000 soldiers that had to follow Saul in hunting David away from their families and having to follow them and living in the rocks and the caves and the forests and always hunting after him, all 3,000 of those men would have loved to have seen Saul realize it's not worth chasing after David, and you're affecting all of our lives. And not only you're affecting all of our lives, you're affecting the whole nation of Israel. The Philistines are the enemies. David realized if Saul would see things as they were, that it would help everyone that Saul had influence over. David was not a threat to Saul. Never had been. He only came to Saul to help Saul. He wanted to serve under Saul. But because of an evil spirit, Saul was consumed with killing David. He was not as important as Saul had made him to be in Saul's mind. This is a story. And so in verse 14, I think it all comes together, understanding the background, understanding the story. And David says, "Whom is the king of Israel?" Trying to shake his mind a little bit. "Saul, wake up. Saul, understand what's going on. You're the king of Israel, the greatest nation on the planet Earth at this time. You have the God of creation as your God. Israel's his chosen people. You are the king of Israel. Why are you pursuing after a dead dog?" Well, that's a story. What about the application for you and I? First thing I want to ask you this morning, what are you consumed with? What occupies most of your thoughts? Back in the book of Luke, look in the New Testament, the book of Luke. I think this goes hand in hand with what we're reading here in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 24 and studying the life of King Saul and David trying to help Saul. I believe God would try to help many of us here today that have been influenced by an evil spirit or have been influenced by lies and deception, and what is consuming our lives, our minds, our thoughts, it's not as significant as what you think it is. And if it's consuming your thoughts, then your thoughts are not where they ought to be. If it's controlling your life, then you're not accomplishing the things that you could be accomplishing. Yeah, In Luke in chapter 8, we find here the parable of the sower and the seed. The sower sows a seed, and the Bible reveals the results of the seed and where it was sown. Verse 5 and 8, it gives a parable. A sower, verse 5, chapter 8 of Luke, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Now, this is Jesus teaching this parable. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. Now, this seed would have been the Word of God, and how it fell on the hearts of humanity and what it did to a person's life. If you got saved, then you have received the seed that God has planted, the seed of the Word, and understanding that you're lost and had a need of a Savior, and you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because you know that's what the Bible says a person must do to be saved. Praise the Lord for that. Now, some, they hear it, they don't really get saved. Others, they get saved, they hear it, but not all allow themselves and allow the seed to work in them to produce this great fruit or the will of God for their lives. The one that I want you to look at here that I think that identifies with what we find in the book of 1 Samuel with Saul is found in verse 14. This is Jesus explaining about this seed that fell among thorns. I believe this particular example is someone that actually got saved, but allowed too many things to influence their thinking. The Bible says in verse 14, as Jesus explains this, he says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth," they've heard it, and now they're looking to apply it, "but are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." These are the things that choke out the born-again believer. These are the things that will stifle the Spirit of God from working in the lives of a saved individual to keep them from accomplishing what is most important in your life. They first of all, he reveals that some are consumed with, that are lost focused on the seed, lost focused on God, lost focused on God's will for your life. They're being consumed by the cares of this life. Cares of this life. Can I tell you that some are so consumed with politics? They're so consumed, and they think that it's really going to make a difference who sits in the president's position and who sits on the Senate, and can bring all the way down. Can I tell you that, yes, that is important, and yes, we ought to do our part, but to be consumed with politics, that's all they do. They breathe politics. They get up in the morning and they want to watch everything about what's going on and everything that consumes their lives. And when it comes to an overall scope of an individual and God's will for your life, can I tell you, it's chasing after dead dogs. I believe we ought to be concerned about the cares of this life. And I believe that we ought to be concerned about the election of those politicians, especially when they affect the laws of our land. And yes, we need to be aware of that, and we need to do our part. But I'm not going to be consumed. I'm not going to get down and oppressed because the wrong person was elected. I'm not going to let that affect me in such a way that it just destroys me because my politician, the one I voted for, lost an election. Not going to be consumed with that. Why? Because that's not going to control my everyday life and God's purpose for me. Being consumed by the cares of this life, natural disasters. Some people will sit there and all day long watch whatever type of television programs that are revealing natural disaster after natural disaster after natural disaster. And so all these pictures of the people suffering here and the people suffering there and all the different things, and they want you to send all your money to them so they can help relieve this. And listen to me, I understand that we, especially as America, and the blessings that we have been bestowed upon us, and we ought to be used to be a help to others, no doubt about that, and we ought to be concerned about those things, but it should never consume our lives. And yet some have just are consumed with it. And their part, what they're consumed with, they just sit in front of a television set. Like that's really helping the relief efforts around the world. But it's rendering you useless if that's what you do. That's a dead dog. Some are so concerned about wars and rumors of wars and what's going on here and what's going to happen if this person does this and this nation does that, and we're going to get involved in how many troops and are these... And they're consumed with that. And so all they do is sit there and listen to the lies on CNN and be so consumed with everything that's going on concerning all the wars and rumors of wars, and it consumes their life, and they live in fear of what's going to happen. And it neutralizes their life. The dead dog. Some are, hear about somebody getting cancer and all the different diseases. Before you know it, they're living their life in fear. I'm going to get cancer. I'm going to die. Well, you're going to die eventually, maybe not from cancer. And so they're consumed with cancer research. And that's all that they read up on it. Well, if I would get it, I know exactly what I'm going to do because I've read this and I've seen this biography of this person and I've watched this show and I've watched that show and I've heard this person speak on it. I've heard that person speak on it. And I know the statistics of what this percentage of cancer survival is and what this kind of cancer survival is and what this does and what that does. It's a dead dog. Should we be concerned? Yes, cancer is something that it seems like that people are getting more and more often, and we hear more and more about it, and yes, we ought to be concerned about trying to protect ourselves to a certain degree, but it should never consume our lives. Consumed by divorce. Well, if my husband ever did that to me, Bob, I'm telling you what, I got a double barrel shotgun and he'll be dead. Put some fear into him. I'm all for that. Put fear into him, but don't be consumed about him doing that. Amen. Hear about this person, hear about that person and that couple, and then before you know it, it's a dead dog. If it consumes your life, you're neutralized. Raising teenagers, and we see of all the different things going on with teens and the pregnancy rate and the drug abuse rate and the suicide rate, all these different things, and you're raising teens and you're fearful of all this going on in your own teen's life. And listen to me, yes, we need to be concerned, but listen, you can't be consumed over those types of things to where they control every thought of your mind. We ought to be concerned. But these have always been a part of society. When this generation's over, those very same things will be a part of the next generation. They've been a part, if you've here for Sunday morning Sunday school, we went back and understood the mentality of humanity in Noah's day and the very same sin nature is in every one of us. And outside the influence of God, our thoughts left to themselves will go in a wicked direction, to where we'll only have these evil thoughts continuously. Those consumed by the cares of this life. Are there cares of this life? Yes, they are, but I can't let any of the cares of this life consume me. Consumed by riches. We find this is what chokes out the seed. And Jesus saying in this New Testament church age, as a seed is planted and God has a purpose for your life, if you're not careful, if you're consumed by the cares of this life, it'll choke you out and you'll not be able to accomplish what God has you here to accomplish. If you're consumed by the riches of this life, how many are consumed with making money? They go to bed thinking about the stock markets. They wake up thinking about the stock markets. Do you have investments? I've got a retirement plan and I put it in there. I'm not consumed with it. It's for when I retire. Amen. Praise, Lord, it's in your hands. I'll do what I'm concerned. I'm going to start doing something, doing whatever you'd have me to do. That just being concerned. That's being a faithful steward. That's just doing what God would have us to do. But I'm not going to spend my whole life based on what the stock market does. I'm not going to let that control my joy. I'm not going to let that control my service to God. Many times, many focused on that. It's all about making money. Many times they say, well, it's all about providing for my family. And I'm all for that. If you don't provide for your family, then you're going to answer to an almighty God. But don't use that providing for your family as an excuse to be controlled by riches. In comparison, it could be a dead dog. If it causes you to lose more important things. I've been a pastor now for some 30 years. I've talked to people coming to my office that their marriages have failed. And they'll come in and say, I was working all the time and I was providing for my wife and I was providing for my children and now she wants to divorce me. Because she didn't have a husband. You're so concerned about a job. What good is that job going to do you when you lose your family? I've been providing for these children all their lives, and now they're teenagers and they're going off on this, and preacher, what? Satan defeated you by getting you to be consumed with providing for them, and you didn't provide what they needed the most, and that is a father. A mother chasing after dead dogs. David's just trying to help Saul. I believe God's just trying to help us. What's consuming your thoughts and your life? Riches. The root of evil, the root of all evil, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, is the love of money, being consumed by it. Consumed by the third thing he gives us here is consumed by pleasures. Pleasures. Sports. There's some men you can talk. I mean, they won't hardly talk until you mention sports. Sports. Squirrel. Where's sports? And then they can tell you everything about every baseball player. They can tell you how his batting percentages. They can tell you if he made how many times he made the All-Star game. Then they go into basketball and they can tell you about every championship team, and they've got the posters up in their walls, and they can tell you every statistics about the basketball players. And some of them even can go into hockey. I don't understand that one, but they can go into hockey and they can tell you all about hockey players. And they can tell you everything about football players. And it's not enough just to stay with reality sports. Now it's fantasy sports. I still haven't understood that. And now I don't know. I am not ever looking to get into a fantasy sports program. Don't get me into that. Amen. I don't want that. Why? I don't want to be consumed with sports. Praise the Lord that we have sports. And I'm not against sports. I think you can find pleasure in sports. You can find release in sports. But it should never consume your life. If that is what's consuming your life, it is a dead dog. And it's draining you of what's more important. There's some that watch ESPN and they only have one program. They just repeat it over and over, and they'll just sit there and repeat it over and over, watch it over and over. It's a dead dog. It's choking you, whether you realize it or not. An evil spirit has blinded you to it. Recreation. Praise the Lord for that. Sports is one thing, looking at and living it out through somebody else, but then the recreation, what you can do yourself. I believe we need to have recreation. Can I tell you, I enjoy the game of golf. When my life is over, I don't want anybody to say, well, he was a good golfer. If that's all my life has meant, it's a dead dog. It's a dead dog. Recreation cannot consume us. Should not be allowed to consume you. It's not what you want your legacy to be. Desires of the flesh. Gambling. Many people lose everything they have because of the desire of this thing that I'm going to hit it big. Alcohol. Desires of getting high. Desires of escaping this reality of this life, whatever it might be, can allow these things to become dead dogs. This evil spirit had Saul all messed up. Go back to the story. He's consumed with it. He's every morning he wakes up. Where is David at today? Give me all the intelligence. Want everybody working on this with me. We need to kill David. I want all of you. I want all the best intelligence. I want you to go out. I want you to spy out the land. All 3,000 of you soldiers, you be ready. Because we're going to find him one day. And we're going to destroy him. We're going to kill David. His whole life. Consumed with what David says, Saul. I'm a dead dog. I offer no threat to you. I've only tried to help you. What are you consumed with? And very quickly, lastly, do you know who you are? After David revealed, I'm no threat, you've been listening to lies, you've been let this evil spirit lead you around, and you're chasing after me, I'm a dead dog to you. He said, you're the king of Israel. Have you forgotten? Not only did he say that, in verse 8 he said, my Lord the King. He addressed him as my Lord the King. You're my hero. And I looked up to you. When I was asked to come to play my instrument for you, to help you, I was so excited that I was able to come into the presence of the King of Israel. And that I had a part in just helping you to soothe this your spirit and to help you to keep your thoughts right. Saul, you're my hero. You're my Lord. He called him my Lord. He went on and he called him in verse 11. He said, my father. He was his father-in-law. Saul had actually given David one of his daughters to marry. And so now he said, not only were you my idol, I looked up to you. You're my father-in-law. Your family. We're having your grandchildren. You're my father. And you're the Lord's anointed. He told him, he said, you're the Lord's anointed. You're king of Israel. Who are you? Are you saved? If you're saved, can I tell you something? You're the light of the world. If you're saved, you're the salt of the earth. Your testimony is important. Your life is meaningful. God has a purpose for you. All those people around you, you're the only light they might ever see. Do you have a husband? Do you have a wife? You're their companion for life in God's will. You're their completer. Your wife is looking at you as the only man that she'll ever have as her husband in the will of God. That's who you are, man, husband. Your husband is looking to you as the only wife that he'll ever have in the will of God. You're his completer. You're his helpmate. That's who you are. Has that even registered? Are you consumed with all these other things that in comparison are dead dogs? Your father, your mother, you have children that are looking to you, that adore you. They want to grow up to be just like you. They try to mimic every move that you make. They're looking at you as an example, as a role model. Do you even realize that? These other things are dead dogs in comparison to the importance of raising those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What we need to be consumed with, first of all, is God. For faith in God will help you to be everything that you ought to be and everything that you can be. Because God can do that for you. Saul, were you not one of the greatest kings in the beginning? Did you not have a testimony that God chose you and God made you king because of your goodliness, because of your stand for righteousness, because of your love for God? God chose you in the beginning. Where'd that go? Faith gets us through this life and helps us to keep focused on the priorities of this life. What are we doing to keep the faith? If you don't work on keeping the faith, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, you'll be consumed with dead dogs. Stop chasing after dead dogs. Focus on faith in God. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. What's consuming your thoughts? What is Satan using to keep you from focusing on the most important things in your life? What are the dead dogs in your life? Mark them down as dead dogs. And look to what is most important. Others' lives depend upon it. Everyone that you have an influence over depends upon it. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Thank you for this example of the life of King Saul and how David tried to help him. How that we can relate that and what Jesus taught us about the parable, the sower, the seed, and the things that will choke out that bearing fruit of the Christian. God, help us to learn from this. If there's anyone here that does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that right now during this invitation they would come and let somebody take a Bible and share with them what they must do to be saved. For that Christian, Lord, who has been blinded and possibly deceived into going a direction that they shouldn't be going, help them to come back to you and to refocus on their life and their responsibilities. God, work in our midst. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name. Amen.